Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for clicking through the PayPal and going to Corolla Drinks and getting some Mangria on. New special three-pack deal for you guys, shipping included. Try that new formula, screw cap now, new bottle, all kinds of good stuff. So thanks once again for the support. The show for the next couple of weeks is just going to be on Thursday, and then we'll get back to the bi-weekly format after the next couple of weeks.
And I still want to send our thanks out to Lavelle Crawford and Orlando Jones and Mindy Sterling for helping out while you were gone. It will be all normalized in, what, next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after this week. Yeah. All right, so interesting thing that's going on. San Antonio, we're doing a live podcast coming up at the Empire Theater, and that is tomorrow, 8 o'clock. So if there's still maybe a couple of tickets left. And we're coming to Portland and Seattle and Sacramento and all that kind of stuff. So we can go to the website, check it out. All right.
How was your party? Sorry we missed it. We was out of town.
Yeah, I figured you must have been out of town. Yeah. It was good. Actually, as I've said many times, many, many, many times, everybody, do yourself a favor. Throw yourself a party. Throw a party at your home once a year, maybe twice a year, and or then pick up someone who you care about, who may judge a little bit, from the airport maybe once a year. Because you get shit in order. What it is, especially if you're doing a housewarming party, I had a big mirror in the bedroom, big long 7 foot long mirror, and it had been sitting on the leaning against the wall behind the little love seat thing.
Party's coming, you're putting it up.
It's getting put up. Yeah. All the leaves had been gathering on top of the garage and filling the gutters, and it looked like shit, and it would clean off the skylights and blah 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 blah. You know, just all that shit that's just been sort of around and become part of the landscape of your life because you're busy and you're working every weekend, and when is there ever going to be a good time to do this? And I'm pretty good at pecking away at stuff, but boy, when that party's coming, get your shit together, and all of a sudden, the house, all the kid shit that was spread out all over the place and all the junk, and all of a sudden, you find yourself with the scratchy part of the sponge getting the big scuff mark off the hallway, and you know, it's like people are coming. They're not necessarily judging, but they'll be having thoughts, and you would like to have your office look good. You know, my office desk was a mess for the last 9 months, and I cleaned it.
Put your best foot forward. So
yeah, and it kind of forces you to get your shit together, and that we did. this conversation with Lynette at about 3 PM, I think people are coming over about 5. She said, "Ugh, I hate this part." And I said, "What part?" She said, "The part where you have to get everything together." You know what I mean? I
said, the party part.
That's the part we have to do something. It's not your. I said, first thing I said was get used to it, and then secondly, don't hate it. That's the relationship. If you approach, imagine Drew,
dig.
Imagine those in the world.
Those people.
Yes.
Okay.
Who approach exercise with that sort of dread.
They're not going to do it.
Versus the kind that approach exercise with, look, doing 50 push-ups, it's not enjoyable to anybody. But getting a sense of satisfaction, knowing it's good for you and feeling a little of that burn, you know, when you come up,
it's weird.
is a positive
thing tell you,
for people.
I've always been so grateful that it actually kind of is enjoyable for me. It clears my head. It feels good.
It's enjoyable.
It hurts getting to the point where you can enjoy it.
But what I'm saying is it's enjoyable in a sense that comes from many things that aren't defined by what you traditionally call enjoyable.
It's not yummy enjoyable.
Going to the symphony is enjoyable. Yeah. And it's not you're not sitting there eating donuts stone, but you're sitting there and it's an air conditioned building.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of things in life that are enjoyable. And I always talk about this transcends that.
Yeah.
This is accomplishment.
Yeah.
But show me the person, male or female, who get something from the process of working out, exercising, again, maybe transcends enjoyable. This clears your head. This makes your body and mind stronger. Frees up your mind to be creative and blah, blah, blah.
Nourishing.
Nourishing. Or it's much easier to put in that 17-hour day when your body is strong and your mind is right. Okay, show me that person in their underpants versus the person that's like, oh, shit, I got to go run on the treadmill. I'm going to show you someone who looks very different in their underpants, right?
Yeah.
So
thank you for that image.
Thank you. So what we need to do is stop looking at these things that you quote unquote don't enjoy and remove the word joy from them. Look at it as this is a transformation. This is an accomplishment. This is, again, you're going to take your home, you're going to open it up to 80 strangers, and when they compliment you on it, and it's a wonderful evening for all, that'll transcend joy. And this is part of the process of that. You know, don't sit back and look at everything in a vacuum. Meaning, oh, there's a big pile of dirty laundry, and I got to move it from that room into that room. Well, there's nothing joyous about doing that.
You sound like a Zen Buddhist.
Well, I'm trying to say, no, schlepping laundry is not enjoyable and any more than doing a push-up is.
You know what's interesting?
But if you stand back from it,
it's funny
then
you're
there
saying
is something.
This. It's funny you're saying this today. You know the movie Chef? You see that movie?
Yes, I have.
At the end, did you watch after the end of the credits? They've got Favreau there being instructed by a chef how to make a cheese sandwich.
Yes, I saw the movie with Favreau and with the chef was Asian.
Yes, at the very end. Yeah.
I saw the movie with both those guys in Phil Rosenthal's house.
Well, I say good day, sir.
That's why. My monocle almost fell into my old fashioned. I'm sorry for being a dick, but I did sit with both those guys and watch both about it.
And maybe you can amplify what I'm about to say then. But that chef, the Asian fellow, was sort of talking about, you know, immersing yourself in the sandwich. Mm-hmm. You know, the making of the sandwich should be completely immersive.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's the same. I was strangely woke up thinking about that little piece today. You know, I just seen us on a plane a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And is that what you're talking about? The same kind of thing?
No.
And did this guy say anything about that, by the way, when you're sitting next to him?
They were both passionate about grilled cheese.
Come on. I'm actually really curious.
Yes. His name is Roy Choi.
Yeah.
I love his sister, Bach. Now, thank you, Chris. Well, that's a head shaker. All right. Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Did he say anything more? Did you learn anything more from those two?
I was pretty drunk by that time. Right. Point is this. It was an enjoyable night. Yes, they both spoke passionately about how he trained with the chef and and Roy and all that stuff. And then good. That's my whole point. Make a movie about something you're passionate about.
Was Favreau passionate about food before the movie?
Have you seen Jon Favreau?
Eating, but was he like cooking?
Have you seen him not eating?
Was he like cooking?
Yes. Obviously.
I thought so. Yeah.
This is a movie he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Big studio didn't tap him on the shoulder and go, "You want to be a chef in a movie? What? No. Yeah. Here's $1 million. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that was his project, his pride.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying be one with the stinky sock that you're moving to the next room. What I'm saying is,
well, the thing is immersing it, having experience with, you know, fully focus on that. You know, do it. Do it fully.
Do it, because what's the alternative? Number one. Number two, let it be known that 13/16 of life is this.
Yeah.
I mean, I just had a wonderful experience where Robert Redford requested a Blu-ray version of this Newman doc that we just finished, and he personally reached out to us and said, "Hey, I want to see this thing before it gets into Sundance," and it should get into Sundance. And I thought, oh, what a thrill it'll be to have Robert Redford sitting around watching my movie that took now, you know, a year and a half to make. Almost every part of it's a pain in the ass. It's, you know, I mean, if you could imagine a day that was more busy than basically when we started, which was doing Howard Stern at 7 a.m. on a Monday morning, and then when we're done with Stern at 8 a.m., getting in a rental car and driving with the crew to Lime Rock, Connecticut, to the Lime Rock Raceway in Connecticut, and sitting down and interviewing some guys, Lime Rock, and then packing up the crew again and driving to God knows McFuckberry, Connecticut, and sitting down with Bob Sharp, the team owner, and talking to him. At this point, I'm running off of fumes.
Yeah.
It's 4 p.m, and then a mad dash
to the airport
to get in the car and go to JFK for a flight that was delayed 4.5 hours and sitting on the floor and eating saltines. There is nothing. By the way, is Mike, sorry, is the Porcelain Punisher back there?
Yeah, he's screening calls right now. We'll get him in here.
I thought he was going to collapse when honest to God, when we were at Bob Sharp's house in Connecticut and he was schlepping the lights up to the top floor where his office was and blah, blah, blah. At a certain point, he turned a couple shades of pale, was sweating through his shirt, and I don't say this to anybody, but I think I told him to go sit down for 5 minutes or something. Matt, am I exaggerating?
Not in the least. That was quite a day. Just running around in the heat. I think it started at the racetrack.
Well, to be fair, also, you know, when you're getting up at 7.
Not getting up at 7.
No, when you're working at 7, that's 4 a.m. Pacific time. You know what I mean?
Now, were you with me at Stern?
No, I don't think I was that time.
Right, but we picked you up at the rental car place.
No, actually, that day I got up with Nate and the crew, and I was down at the track. We met you guys at the track, if I'm not mistaken.
We drove out there, yeah.
Yeah, but we were up at, you know, 4:35 to try to beat you guys there.
Right, and then the night ended up with a 3 or 4 hour flight delay.
That's right, yep.
And us leaving JFK at 11 o'clock that night.
Yeah, it wasn't one guy in the terminal trying to get everybody on the flight to band together and demand that they let us fly out sooner.
It was a great moment where everyone was just sort of sitting on the floor, you know, just trying to figure out when the fuck our 7:15 flight was going to leave. It was now 11 o'clock, and one guy was marching up and down the line of guys, and he was like, "We need to boycott this flight. We need to band together. We need to boycott it now." And everyone's like, "Fuck you, douche." Just told him to fuck off.
What a ridiculous idea.
I don't even know. I don't know what the fuck. I can't. He wanted something, and everyone's like, "Sit down, hippie." Like, nobody wanted anything. No one was buying his fucking lemonade.
What are you going to do? You're going to walk out on the tarmac and come into your plane? What the fuck?
I, every fucking 26-year-old thinks they're fucking Norma Rae now.
Yeah.
And they're just going to go, just like, come on, people! Except for, she was protesting.
Time to reference, gentlemen.
All right, but the point is, you know, people are getting fucking killed in a sweatshop factory, and she was going to protest.
Yeah.
This is just a bunch of fucking slackers sitting in air conditioning, and oh, cry me a river, your fucking 5.5-hour flight's going to take an extra 3 hours.
Yeah, leave when you want to.
Half the people on this planet died trying to make it from here to there.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, and by the way, so you can fly in a giant crate across the country in 5 hours, and, you know, talk about the entitlement.
Everyone told them to fuck off. The point is, there was nothing enjoyable about that day. Nothing. But when we got on the plane and those wheels lifted off the tarmac and I leaned back in my chair, I felt satisfied.
Oh, sure.
And when Bobby Redford gave us a buzz and said, hey, really like to see screening of that documentary, it felt fucking good. And when we get accepted into Sundance, it's going to feel better. So
only could feel better would be getting something from
prosper.com, right? Man, you ever try to get a loan for some home improvement or pay off a credit card or start a business? It's hard. Even I have trouble. Don't get me started. Yeah. I've always said this. It's one of these things, Drew, tell me if you agree with this statement. I tell people all the time, there's no such thing as good credit. There's just bad credit.
Right.
Bad credit is, oh, no, we can't do that. Good credit is, oh, you're just up to zero.
Yeah.
You don't have bad credit.
Right.
No one looks at what you've done over the last 20 years and goes, look, whatever you need, we'll give it to you. Because obviously you have a track history, you have a track record of, no, doesn't exist. Better way to borrow, prosper.com. That's right. It's turning the lending industry on its head where it should be. It connects people who want to borrow with investors who got some cash. You can borrow up to $35,000, get a low fixed rate, and never set foot in a bank.
It's funny. I was just going to say that, you know, really what it's doing, rather than loaning, it's investing.
Yeah.
Whoever is the one that they're giving the money, they look at a track record and they go, oh, I'm better than that guy.
Check your rate instantly. It doesn't affect your good credit score. Go to prosper.com/Adam. That's prosper.com/Adam. For a limited time, by the way, they got a Visa gift card they're giving out if you go ahead and get a loan. So go ahead and do that. Drew!
Other restrictions apply. See site for program and Visa prepaid card details. This card is issued by Center State Bank of Florida, N.A., pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc.
All right.
Hang on. All personal loans are made by WebBank, a Utah chartered industrial bank. Member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
All right. Let's see. We got some questions out there. But either way, in life, everyone, don't work the feel-good route. Work the feel-satisfied route. It's a much, much better way to go.
Mm-hmm. Remember this back to the good life versus a good life.
Mm-hmm. Always like that.
The good life. Excuse me, a good life is one that's nourished and satisfying. It may not be happy and pleasurable all the time.
No, if you break down, you know, I'm doing this Catch a Contractor show, you break down all the facets of it, whether it's sitting in fucking traffic and driving out to Gardena in the morning or just standing around the, you know, set when it's super hot or whatever it is, eating lunch on a folding chair outside. Like, no part of it is enjoyable. It's just certain satisfaction when you're done. All right, Gary, we don't need that. We'll hop to the phones.
Go.
Let's talk to Nick, Oakland, 31. Nick?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Good, man.
Drew?
Hey.
Good. I'm 31 years old, and I've never been a big coffee drinker, but I just started, and I've found the effects to be great. Just able to get up in the morning. I work 4 to midnight, and I'm able to turn it around and get to sleep quicker because I'm getting up earlier, and it's just created a much better cycle for myself. And I wish people had told me earlier. And I mean,
you didn't listen to Adam, obviously.
Yeah. Really, people need to tell you about coffee? There's a fucking Starbucks on every corner. There's one in your living room.
I think all we hear about are the bad effects of drugs and all this and that, and nobody's really told me and said, hey, this one can actually make you a more productive person. And, you know, it is obvious, but it took me a while, and I kind of was stubborn about it. I didn't want another addictive substance in my life. Mm-hmm. But I think we kind of lump them all together as addictive drugs. And
well, I don't know that coffee gets, you know, lumped in with crack cocaine, but
no.
But what is your question, Nick?
I'm just wanted to know, you know, how dependent are you guys on it to get through the day, and does it help? Would you be able to get through days without it?
I will tell you this: I am dependent on it, but as I realize, in the same way with cigarettes, which I will smoke at night, when I go out of town or travel or go on some vacation thing with the kids and the wife and what have you, I find myself sometimes, because of just the nature of the position of where you're at and what you're doing, I find myself coming home going, I didn't wake up that morning and have a cup of coffee for that Friday or Saturday, Sunday. And I didn't go to bed that night and have a cigarette either.
Right.
I was just in that environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
So I have a dependency on both, but not to the extent where...
You miss it if you miss it.
I literally wouldn't think about it. I would get up in a cabin, and if it didn't have coffee in it, and somebody said, hey, we're meeting by the pool at 10 a.m., I wouldn't go, not without my fucking coffee. I'd just go meet them by the pool.
Although, first of all, the bad effects of coffee, I don't know what he's talking about. Because so far, people have been trying to determine bad effects from coffee for a long time. And all we've come up with in the meantime is that it may improve the risk of dementia, may reduce the risk of Parkinson's disease, may improve symptoms of these disorders. So I don't know what he's talking about. Am I getting paid by the coffee industry now,
yes,
Adam, because I'm fucking saying something about
Juan Valdez.
That drives me crazy because
you're
I have an opinion.
Coffee.
I must be paid by somebody to have a fucking opinion.
Easy.
It drives me insane.
Wow.
Nobody's paying me anything for anything.
Drew, can I ask you this?
What?
As a doctor,
yeah,
the things in life, and you talk about, you know, nature knowing what it's doing, basically.
Yeah.
The things in life we crave. Mm. You know, like, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, they go, well, you know, man wasn't meant to eat animal protein. You know, we don't have the kind of teeth. I go, how is it when I see a fucking commercial that shows prime rib, I literally feel saliva dripping. I start having a visceral reaction. So let me just say this. You explain this to me.
Yeah, I will.
We have a primal instinct to have sex.
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. That I understand. We have to propagate.
Yeah.
We fill the planet with people. Yeah. Okay. So that's where nature's instilled that in us. And then we have this instinct to, you know, eat protein.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Oh, good. That's probably why we're 4 inches taller than our forefathers were. Mm-hmm. Okay. We want to eat protein. And then it's that kind of same thing with coffee. It's like, I get up in the morning, I want my coffee. So the first thought is, well, how can it be bad for you if you have this sort of visceral attraction to it? But then that comes cocaine and alcohol.
Right. Well, that's...
So which is it?
Well, that's a hijacking of the system that is in nature, that's there to create the appropriate cravings for sex and appropriate foods. The problem with what you're talking about, the model you're describing, is that we have a craving for these substances that through evolutionary history, very important, very scarce. Very difficult to come by.
Mm-hmm.
So we would fucking go nuts to get it, but we'd only get it very occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get it too often, that's when we have the ill effect. And by the way, it also becomes addictive. Then it hijacks the system a little bit.
Right.
We can't do without the animal fats, without the processed foods. Vegetables don't taste good anymore, and only the yummy stuff tastes good. And that's a hijacking now.
Right.
So in nature, your point is well taken, but in nature, we wouldn't have such access
wouldn't
to all
be
these
an
things.
Arby's on every corner.
That's right. Let me finish my coffee rant real quick. I have a weird thing going on where I have become obsessed with these medium-chain triglyceride oils. Was it Andrew Hill, Gary, or Chris, that did that podcast with me on my podcast, the Dr. Drew podcast? We talked about the neural supplements you can take and stuff. And the one thing everyone agrees on is that these medium-chain triglycerides are good. And they have – look, you know, see how much weight I've lost?
Yes.
It's changed everything for me. It really has. It curbs appetite, improves mood, makes your coffee taste better. You put like 2 tablespoons – I probably have 3 tablespoons a day of that stuff. And it's just
– Just put it in your coffee?
Yeah.
It's Where do you get it?
I get it from either Caveman Coffee or the what's that? Dave Asprey's
why,
thing.
Why does it have to do with coffee?
What is it? Because those guys sort of, you know, they're very coffee connoisseurs. You could just take put on your salad if you want. But I
but
just,
it
I,
comes in a powder form?
It comes in. It's a liquid. It's a oil. It's
oh,
a crazy
oil.
Oil. Yeah. It's medium chain. It's MCT oil. Medium chain triglyceride oil.
Pour some
Bulletproof coffee. Bulletproof coffee is the other one. It really is. And it really improves your mood and stuff. And, and both the guys that run these companies.
So long with this?
Why is it coming on so strong? Or
well, what I can't figure out is what's the correlation between you're talking about coffee and then you're talking about the supplement. And then you're saying, well, you can put it on anything. But what's
can.
The coffee connection?
I think the coffee connection is these two guys. You'd have to ask them specifically, but they both had experiences where they were initially exposed to it with coffee. And they noticed there were more full effects on mood and energy when they mixed it with the coffee.
Oh, I see.
Like one guy was in the Himalaya when there was yak butter. And you know, medium chain triglycerides in the yak butter. He was given a tea, and he noticed, oh, I felt good with that, and he brought it back and experimented.
I see.
So
I see.
Anyway, that's my thing. So get out of some of that, guys. Anyway,
yeah, give me some of that.
Yeah, it's good.
What else? We got another phone calls here. Let's see. Let me tell you about eVoice. Nothing better than owning your own business, like moi. But Drew has his own business as well. It just loses money. Hiring receptionists, handling all your handling all your calls.
Practicing medicine is a money losing proposition right
now. Well, this Obamacare is going to clear up everything. Yeah. Do not worry. Yep, you need eVoice, man. Set your business up, get a toll free number, or get a local number. Customers will be greeted professionally by a virtual receptionist and will route your calls wherever you are. It doesn't matter. You sound like a Fortune 500, nay, 400. Company. That's right.
Nay.
They still get the alliteration. Never miss an important call, and it's under $13 a month, so such a deal, as Drew's tribe would say. Want to try eVoice for a limited time, by the way? Try it? Test it out?
Hell yeah.
60 days free? How about that? Go to evoice.com/ace. That's evoice.com/ace, and set it up. Get your 60-day extended free trial. That's evoice.com/ace. Okay, Drew, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with more calls.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I tell you about the time I wore makeup on a date. My first and last time. Listen for free through iTunes and hear what happens, or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features not available in all states. In the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register at TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com. All right. Drew, what do we got?
Let's do number one, line one.
Line one. Hey, Danny Monterey, 27.
Ace man, Drew, how's it going today?
Good, man.
Get it on. Oh, by the way, hang on one second. You know, while you were gone, I played some music to inspire the get. I wondered if it inspired the get it on. And can you dig that up for a quick second? Remember the music from?
Yeah.
Does this have anything to do with where getting on came from? We started speculating. Yeah.
No. Get it on was just something that.
A little T-Rex? No.
No.
Do you like T-Rex?
The lead singer OD'd or killed themselves?
Nothing more unsatisfying than trying to get Adam so excited about something. We speculate what might accept.
It's not a great song.
All right.
Go ahead. I like Get It On by Chase, the band Chase, a lot better than this Get It On. If there's something to celebrate, you know, musically. Sorry, Danny.
Go ahead.
No problem. Hey, Drew, quick question for you. I'm 27 years old.
Yeah.
I've had 3 prostate infections in the last 4 years.
Ooh.
And in the last, during the last one, urologist kind of, you know, does this thing and he goes, "You have an abnormally small prostate and you need to be careful." And I said, "What does being careful mean?" And he goes, "You should probably start getting screened earlier than most people." And I wanted to call and ask you about that, see if you'd heard anything to that effect.
For prostate cancer?
Yes.
I wonder if he means it makes it more difficult to feel it. Also, if you develop it, it might get out of the capsule quicker because it's smaller. I think it's probably – it's not that you're more likely to get it. It's you're more likely to get into trouble with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've never heard that you're more the only people that are more likely to get it is people whose fathers or brothers have had it under the age of 60, under the age of 65. Then you've got to start screening at 40. But the smallness, I think, probably has more to do with the presentation, you know, getting at it too late. And when you get it early, somebody asked Chris Maxipata, why don't talk about chemotherapy? There are chemotherapies for prostate cancer, but that's advanced prostate cancer. And that's pretty much all we can do at that point is just slow it down. You want to prevent it from becoming metastatic. You want to get it and cure it early. And that's why all the emphasis on screening.
All right, Danny.
All right,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
What do you
do
in Monterey?
I am at the Defense Language Institute. I'm in the Air Force.
Wow. And let me ask you this. Do you have one sexual partner?
Yes.
And does she have infections or anything?
No.
Okay. Because I wonder where all that prostate inflammation is coming from. It's sometimes, in your age group, it's something we kind of think about as associated with STDs.
Where are you located in Monterey?
In Seaside.
Mm.
That's where I live. The Presidio of Monterey is over in town.
So pretty there. It's so beautiful.
It's unbelievable. What a place to be stationed.
Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Enjoy it, man. And come
see me
when we do the car stuff up there.
Absolutely.
Why don't we do Carmel again this year?
All right.
Do the car stuff.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
Hey, Devon. North Dakota.
Devon?
Or Devon. Yes. Okay. Sorry.
What's up?
Devon with an I. But you can call me whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're Devin?
It's all right.
Yeah, with an I. I spent my whole life yelling no.
The North Dakota part. I tried to give you a little urban flavor. Devon, I've been watching a lot of football.
So that works.
Yeah. All right, Devin. Anyway. Well, Devin with an I is much easier. Go ahead.
So my girlfriend, I heard you with Steve-O the other day talking about how your wife does the groaning and moaning when you get up early. And my girlfriend was doing the same thing, so I developed this routine that involves me, like, sneaking around and using my phone like an old lantern, like I'm an old innkeeper.
I do that, too. I do the same damn thing.
And so then I've developed this to where I can just get up and sneak out the house without her bitching about it. And then today I get the, good morning text, and then you didn't say goodbye.
Yeah, it's always a weird, I have that same thing, which is, It's the saying goodbye thing. When I'm going catching a contract or catching a flight or something, and I'm up early and I'm up before everyone, I get the I'm going to give my wife a kiss, but half the time I go kiss her, I get the you come up and startled me. I was a fucking sleep, and all of a sudden I felt this beard press against the side of my ear. You know, so
but you don't get it both ways,
right?
It's one or the
other.
You
just leave. It's like, well, you just left.
It really is troubling to me. My wife sets booby traps every night and then complains that I wake her up. Like, hey, you don't
big
like
pyramid
it.
Of cans in front of the door.
Yeah, I have to shut the shades because the sun comes directly in my eyes. If you don't like the sound of me closing the shades, shut the shades. How about taking the pillows off on my side of the bed too? So when I take the pillows off, I don't wake you up. So it's like booby trapped all over the place.
I'm done feeling sorry for those who sleep while I attempt to work. and as I've said many, many times, when the people do you know what? And here's, you know, because I always just do the thing where it's like, I'm sorry, Your Highness. Go back to fucking bed, you know? So, but I get this a lot. Once I wake up,
Right.
I can't go back to sleep.
It's like I've had a nap.
And I just can't go back to sleep. And then I think to myself, well, if the sun's out and you can't get the fuck back to sleep, perhaps it's time to sit up, toy with the idea of putting your shoes on, and going out into the world.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you.
You may come home later on today and sleep if you like, but perhaps you just get up. That's a novel idea. How about waking up if you got woke up? Like, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
If you are awoken and you cannot get back now, I'm not talking about somebody dumping a bottle of fucking Gatorade bucket on your head at 3 a.m. and you got to get up at 6 a.m. to catch a flight. Now you're all fucked up. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about 7:15 in the morning. You were aroused and now it's time to maybe get on with it.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I'm saying. Where were we?
Chris.
Chris. Suffers from depression. Hey, Chris?
Yes?
What's going on there, man? You're 26, Louisiana?
Yes, sir.
Question?
A lot of people who say that they have depression, they don't really pinpoint the trauma, but I've known since it happened what it was.
What was it?
When I was 13, I was accused of molesting my baby brother. And they sent me to a hospital where for 2 weeks they basically told me a monster and told me that I did something that I didn't do.
How did you get accused of molesting your little brother?
Because I think my stepmother might have Munchausen by proxy.
Oh,
and she wanted sympathy.
God.
Interesting.
Was she sexually abused?
I don't know, but I know my my stepsister was.
Yeah.
Have you had therapy for all this?
I haven't, and I'm kind of scared of it, to be honest.
Why?
Because he's from Louisiana.
So, that's part of it. They'll try to push religion on me when I'm an atheist.
Well, all right. Hold on a second. Let me talk to Drew for a second.
Yeah.
I know how we all are. But let me say this.
Uh-oh.
I have people. Once in a while, I had an AV guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was 52. And this is the old house. And, you know, when the gate would open, Molly just come trucking down the driveway. And, you know, Molly, she comes up and says hi to everyone that comes in the front door. Yeah. And her body's wagging.
Yeah.
Her tail wags so hard that she bends in the middle as she walks, you know. Right. She just wants to come say hi to everybody, you know. And, you know, the guy does these certain, put the dog away, put the dog away. You know, and it's Molly, she's fine. You know, please put the dog away. And I go, She's not going to do anything. She's very sweet. You can tell by her body language and by her breed. Yes, sorry for stereotyping dogs, but no one likes that. But either way, we're profiling.
She's
a lab.
Why don't you call her the Labradors?
The Labradors. And she's wagging. And then the guy goes on to explain to me that he was bit by a dog or attacked by a dog when he was 4 years old and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, as a society, we go, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Let me put the dog away. I think we'd be doing that person a much greater service if we said, well, not this dog, so get the fuck over it.
Well, if they can do it, but the way the brain works is it can get really crazy. They can get these locked-in syndromes where their body just reacts. Wait, hold
some
on.
People's brains.
Hold on. It's just like any other recovery. We have good treatments for that now. It's unnecessary to walk around the world like that.
Well, getting back to the thes.
Yeah. Okay.
If anybody.
That was our last show.
Yes.
Yeah.
If anybody said, well, I'm sorry, I won't ride on a bus with a black person or I won't go to a restaurant with a black person because I was beaten up by a black man when I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
No one would accept, oh, okay, we'll just put the black people away. We would say, get over it. That was one black individual that does not speak for black people. We as a society would tell that person in less than a heartbeat to get over that shit because that does not represent this group.
Yeah.
We don't do that with dogs or almost drowning or what this guy's been through. And I'm not saying it's as simple as that, but think about the very different reaction we would have if you were to...
I agree with you. However, I would suggest that regardless, it's irresponsible today not to get treatment for that.
I agree, but there's also part of me that says... I was sitting around with my sister the other day. She was kind of belly aching to some degree about, oh, there's some money, and then mom, and then she wanted the money back.
Corolla complaining about money and family? What the fuck?
And, you know, and I just sort of looked at her and went, you borrowed money from mom? Like, you don't, how do you think this is going to end?
Yeah.
Of course, here's a way to avoid all this. Don't ever.
Yeah.
I learned that when I was 13 and a half. Don't ever do that. So, but here's what I'm saying, Drew.
Yeah.
I don't think Chris has to be destroyed by this experience. I really don't. Hey, Chris?
Yes?
Now, I would probably argue that having the stepmother you had and having the stepsister you had and coming from that unit.
Yes.
Yeah, family unit versus the world's shittiest 2 weeks when you're 13.
Yeah, whatever happened to his mom and why the dad allowed this and all that figures into this prominently, too.
That's a lower grade, but that's like living in a house with radon versus having a car accident. You know, I think you can recover from the car accident. The part where you were exposed to this for years and years and years is probably the bigger offender. So either way, therapy. And either way, see if you can stop walking around and thinking of yourself as broken. I went through a period of, I could remember, I don't know why I just had this thought, but I had this sort of, I was thinking back on my sort of teen years and thinking in a kind of a weird science sort of way where I was talking to my friends, you know, like a friend over and going, look at us, we're such losers. And him, he's going like, yeah, we are. And they're like, who would date us? I don't know. This is insane. Ugh. You know, and like just sort of nothing's going to work and we're such losers.
When was this?
Oh, probably. I carried that from age probably 14 through age 30. Mm. Just like, oh, look at you. This is never going to work. Yeah. How's this going to work? Yeah. I mean, you know, it would be applied to dating. It would be applied to
career, cars,
credit cards. Everything's like, this is not going to work. Yeah. Who's going to trust you with whatever? This, you know, I would find my way. But it's just like, of course, you're a loser. This stuff doesn't happen to you. Good things don't happen to you. This happened to other people, you know. That mindset, it is crippling versus the, oh my God, I can do whatever I want.
Well, I think that's what Chris is talking about, which is what's sometimes called the creative solution. If you can create and build and create, that has its own satisfaction, antidepressant properties, fulfillment.
Somebody just sent me a tweet that talked and all. What have I ever said about depression? Go for
classical
a walk.
Music, go for a walk.
Classical music, go for a walk. Somebody just talked about. Somebody just sent me a study.
Yeah, there's some studies like that.
By the way, it's funny because people send me studies like, "Hey, turns out there's a link between family, education, and upward mobility in life." It's like, oh, where's my steno pad? Like. I do appreciate the vindication part where somebody says, oh, it turns out you don't need to drink 19 glasses of water a day. You should just drink when you're thirsty. I understand.
Also, by the way, you don't need to eat all day either. That whole BS. You have to have breakfast, the most important meal. No, it's all BS.
I love in the part where the more Purell you use, the more your immune system gets broken down. I appreciate everyone sending me all these things.
Yeah.
You don't need to because I already know it
to be true.
I wouldn't
vindication. It's nice.
You want to know the reason I know it? Would you like to know why I know it?
Please. You live it.
I didn't read a study to get my first take on the topic.
Right.
I know my son doesn't need an orthopedic corrective hockey helmet because I've looked around and no one needed one the past 20 years, and we didn't physiologically change in the past 20 years. So I already know.
Yeah.
So I know everything because I know nothing. And I never need vindication on, turns out you're right, turns out the cultures that focus on education make an extra $20,000 a year. Yeah, no
your
shit.
Your next book is called I Know Everything Because I Know Nothing. That's your next book.
I don't need the vindication part. I appreciate it, and I like where your hearts are at. Drew?
You know what I know? Stamps.com beats going to the post office. Mailing, shipping, no in. Going to the post office takes time. It's a pain. Leasing a postage meter is expensive. We know a better way, don't we?
Yeah, Stamps.com.
Buy and print official U.S. postage with your own computer, your own printer, at your own desk, and save up to 80% compared to that postage meter. No trips to the post office. And we have our special offer, promo code ADS for the no-risk trial. $110 bonus includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage, up in the upper right there. Type in ADS. That is Stamps.com, promo code ADS.
All right, so classical music and some long walks.
I don't need to really ask us this question yet.
All right, go ahead, Chris.
What I've been trying to do now is I like to entertain people because that's part of the only thing in my life that brings me any kind of contentment. And I listen to your podcast, I listen to Nerdist and everything, and everyone just says, if you want to do it, in your creative mind, and just do it.
Yes.
So I finally thought, you know what? To hell with all the negative thoughts that are killing me on the inside. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, but stop making those proclamations. The negative thoughts that are killing me on the inside. You're just a bunch of bones and some blood and some goo.
Right.
Get over your shit. There's a lot of people who've had it a lot worse than you. You're fine. Yeah. You're 26 years old. It's 2014. You have a fucking computer in your pocket with a cell phone attached to it. You're good. So keep moving. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And I say that all the time, too. Whenever people ask me how I'm doing, I'm like, nothing worth complaining about, and worse things have happened to better people.
There you go.
But I was just wondering if this doesn't pan out, and it is...
What's this, by the way?
I created a YouTube channel where I'm doing like commentaries over video games and stuff like that. I only have two videos up right now, and I'm trying to post at least one video every day. So that way I'm constantly editing my videos and doing stuff over it.
And when you say it works out, what would that look like?
I mean, I'm the type of person, I don't care if I become big on YouTube. That's not what I want.
Yeah, that's what I said when I was 26.
I mean, if it happened, I would love it. But
Chris, what's your question?
Yeah, I was just wondering if at some point it stops making me happy, is what I'm trying to say, but it doesn't work out.
Yeah, all right, hold on a second. And when I say hold on, I mean beat it. Drew, stops making you happy. Again, let's replace the word happy with satisfied, number one. Number two, is there some point in my life where working with cars, working on cars, racing cars, speaking my mind into a microphone, doing projects, but, you know, if at some point building stops making me happy, that's not going to happen.
No.
There'll be points when I'm not compensated for it or undercompensated for it or whatever, that the stops making you happy point, if that's what you do, that's what you do. You know, it evolves. It moves forward. You know, I think about Jimmy Kimmel at 25, and then I think of him today. And it's,
well,
but it never stops making him happy. That's what he does.
Well, the language isn't quite right here, because I can remember there were times when I was overworking practicing medicine, I experienced dread.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I still was... It was my work. You know, I had to do my work.
Right.
I wouldn't think about not doing it just because I would think, maybe I ought to adjust my schedule a bit so I don't feel such horrible dread.
Well, yeah, everyone stop it with the, if it's not making you happy, it's time to pull out of that. No.
Listen, everybody, evaluate what you even mean by happy. We've lost track of a good life versus the good life, and we've also lost track of what the fuck we're talking about when we even say the word happy.
Right.
And it is not Yahoo. It's not necessarily pleasure. Yes, you can't be in misery and be happy. I'll grant you that. But it's not necessarily giving you joy all the time. It's no. satisfaction. It's nourishment. It's accomplishing things.
But
and sometimes
there's
dread associated with it.
You know what happy versus satisfied feels like to me? It feels like a beautiful cut of Kobe beef versus cotton candy.
Yeah.
To me. It's like not even a hands down, I'll take that beef every time. I'll take satisfaction every
I would
time
argue
versus
that
happy.
It's, you know, something more euphorogenic to what's cocaine or pot or something make you euphoric or mangria. I would say that's more what people think about as happy these days. They're going further than cotton candy.
Right.
They're going into like, woo.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They want something huge to feel happy even.
Yeah. Focus on satisfaction. And I would just argue you want to be – here's the thing. Happy is happy on its own. Satisfaction is satisfied and brings happiness.
Eventually,
so,
yeah.
You sort of have both at the same time.
It's a more fulfilling kind of happiness.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Not the empty calories of happy.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, San Antonio.
Another
doing the live podcast. Yeah. What's the name of that book?
I Know Everything Because I Know Nothing.
And then this one is the empty calories.
Empty calories of what?
Of happy.
Of happy.
Charlene McCombs, Empire Theater. That'll be tomorrow night. Mangria. You can go to CorollaDrinks.com. Lots of live shows playing around. Go to AdamCorolla.com. And support the pirate ship, man. You can go to PayPal and subscribe. And it's good juju. A couple bucks a month. We all win. So, till next time. Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, and Gary Heftart saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.